Good evening and welcome to Grace Bible Church here in Montgomery, Alabama. And we're glad to be here, glad for the opportunity to teach the Word of God tonight. We're thankful for the ones that showed up and thankful for the visitors that showed up tonight and hope that you enjoy our services. Tonight, I want us to turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. In verse 17. And I'm going to speak on a subject that I know that you're already familiar with, but I'm going to do it maybe in a little different way than what you've seen it done before, and maybe not. I don't know. But anyway, this is something that Christians need to know about the Word of God, rightly dividing the book. And I believe here in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, we have some very important doctrines here to look at. Let's start in verse 17. The Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Now, I noticed here that Paul says, first of all, he's not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, and it's to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and to also the Greek. And during Paul's Acts ministry, everywhere he went to the Jew first, and there was a reason for that, but we're not going into it tonight. But the thing that I want us to look at is in verse 17, the Bible says, "The righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Now, if you go from something here to something over here, then it's got to be different. In other words, you're going from something here to something over here, from faith to faith. So there's more than one kind of faith in this Bible. And there's more than two different kinds of faith, too, by the way, but we're just interested in two different kinds of faith here tonight. And I want us to look at those things. The Bible says, for by grace are we saved through faith. And so that's a very important subject. And I remember back, maybe somewhere around 1978, however long ago that's been, the first time that I was introduced to this particular doctrine, it was what opened my eyes to seeing the things of right division in this Bible. I knew a little bit about law and grace and the differences and stuff like that. But this thing about faith to faith and how God uses it in this King James Bible was an eye-opener for me. It's like he turned a light on. And it was all of a sudden the Bible just, it was much easier to understand. I remember when I was young, was saved. Someone says, "Well, you're supposed to read the Bible all the way through." Well, 11 years old, I started reading my Bible. I had just got a Bible. Well, I went to a public school down in South Alabama where they allowed missionaries to come in, and they had a program where you memorize scripture verses, and if you memorize 500 verses, they'd give you a Bible. And I don't have the one that I got, but my brother, younger than me, got one, and I got the Bible. I ought to give it back to him, but I still got one of those Bibles. So I read my Bible, but I couldn't understand it. And I went to church, and I learned some things, but I got discouraged, I guess you might say, and I decided to just one time just to quit going to church. And I know that was a bad decision, but I left home and quit going to church. The only time I'd go to church was if I was dating a girl that I had to go to church with, I'd go to church with her, you know. I didn't mind that. But it wasn't until after I was married, and I would think I was 22 or 23, and I was introduced to rightly dividing the book, like you're used to, or Grace Baptist, Grace Bible Church, like the folks that come here are accustomed to. And so tonight I think we can learn some things here about this. Now there's a difference in faith, and that's what I want us to look at tonight. And it's like William said back in the back, was drinking a cup of coffee before we came out here. And if you don't see what God did in this age of grace, then your Bible's not going to make a lot of sense to you. You're always going to be messed up. You're always going to be wondering, well, did he mean that, or did God mean this, or what did he mean? Well, I can tell you right now, God said what he meant, and he meant what he said. The problem is not with the book. The problem's with the reader or the believer understanding it. It's not God's fault that I don't understand. It's if there's any fault, it's my fault. But tonight I want us to look at this thing of faith. Faith to faith. And we want to start in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. And that's not tobacco, that's Habakkuk. And the easy way to find it is just go to Matthew and turn back a few pages and you'll come right to it. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Now, what I see here is this individual here under the law, it says the just shall live by his faith. And that's a reference to the individual's faith. His faith. We're going to look at this a little bit later on, but you might say his work, what he does. His faith. It's personal. It's a personal thing. But over here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, in the last part of the verse, it says, "The just shall live by faith." And if you'll notice, there's a word left out there at the end of that verse. It's his. It's his. It says, "The just shall live by faith." Well, then whose faith is it then? We'll get to that, brother. I know that some of you already know what I'm going to say, part of it anyway. But what you have here is you have the faith of the individual, and then here in Romans you have the just shall live by faith. Now, there's no mistakes in this Bible. I don't believe there's any mistakes in this Bible whatsoever. And whenever Paul quoted this verse, it wasn't because he was ignorant of the Scriptures. He was a Pharisee. He was very educated. And those people had to memorize. Many of them memorized the Old Testament. So Paul didn't accidentally leave out a word. It was left out on purpose. And there's a reason for that, and I hope that we can see it. Matter of fact, Paul quotes that verse twice. The other time is in Galatians. I think it's 3:11. He quotes that verse twice. "The just shall live by faith." Now, turn over to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. Like many years ago, this is like turned a light on for me, and I hope maybe someone here tonight would see and understand what God's done for you. It says, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which were written in the book of the law to do them. All right, so this individual back in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, his fate, he's under the law, then he must continue in those things under that law. He can't just say someday, you know, I'm sick and tired of all this blood and all these sacrifices. I think I'll just claim the grace of God and go on and forget about this mess and just claim the grace of God. Well, he can't do that. He can't do that. Under the law, it says he must continue. Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which were written in the book of the law to do them. All right, so then that man's fate, that individual has to have some works to go with his fate. He has to do something. He can't claim the grace of God. He must continue his faith, his work. And if he doesn't, he's cursed. That's pretty plain. Verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. See, there it is again. The second time, Paul didn't leave out a word. He didn't make a mistake. He did it twice. Now, if he'd only said it one time, that would have been enough to establish the doctrine. Many times God says things over and over and over as repetition in this Bible. He says things over and over and over again, and that's the way you learn. You got school teachers in here, you know that. That's the way you learn is repetition. Now, this thing about faith, and so let's turn over to James chapter 2 and verse 14, and let's see what James has to say about this. And it's going to be a lot different from what Paul said. It says here in verse 14, what doth it profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? How about that? Look up here at verse 13. For he shall have... That's not the verse I'm looking for. Verse 16. And one of you say unto them... Well, look at verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you saith unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? In other words, during this tribulation period, a brother comes and he needs some help, and you just give him the very bare minimum, something to eat, and let him warm a little bit, send him on his way. What have you done for him? You didn't really give him the things that he really needed. And see, now I realize this is tribulation doctrine here. That's these folks that's going to be here after we're gone. And by the way, that's who James is written to. The 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, which is under the gospel of the kingdom, which is going to pick up after the church is taken out. And so we have some different doctrines here. And then verse 17, it says, even so, if it hath not works, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. You see, those folks in that tribulation period, they not only have to have some faith, they got to have some works to prove their faith. They can't just say it and not do it. See, today a man can be saved. We're going to look at that a little bit later, and without doing anything. A man gets saved and never do nothing for God and still go to heaven. So it says, verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? That's pretty plain. It's very plain. And look, Paul gives some examples here. James. James gives some examples. Now, Paul gives some examples too. But we'll look at that in just a minute. But they're examples. One gives an example of a man that's saved by grace, and one man gives an example of a man in that Old Testament that's he's saved, but he has got some works to go with his faith. So here's what he does. Now Paul uses Abraham and James. They both use the same man here. But we're going to verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Okay. Abraham offered his son, and the Bible says he was justified. Verse 22. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? So Abraham already had faith, but then he had some works to prove his faith. Now the thing is this. 40 years prior to Abraham offering up Isaac, his son, look at the next verse. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. 40 years before that. Turn over to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. And, of course, James won't look at this. He's emphasizing a point here. And that point is that Abraham had works in order to justify his faith. He was justified because he had some works to go with his faith. Look at verse 15 here. 15 verse 6. Well, look at verse 5 there. And he brought him, that is God, and God brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now that's like count the stars. That's kind of like a bank teller. Counts money. You know, you can't count them all. It's innumerable. And the verse says here, and verse 6 says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now you see, there's another thing that people try to find something wrong with the King James Bible. You see the word counted? Back over there in James it said imputed. Verse 23 in James chapter 2 it says, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Over here in Genesis it says counted to him for righteousness. Well, the words are interchangeable. God counted it to him for righteousness. Well, then was Abraham saved in Genesis chapter 15 or over in Genesis chapter 22? Turn over there. Genesis chapter 22. Look at verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And took the fire in his hand and a knife, and he went, and they went both of them together. All right, we know the story how God has told Abraham, you know, if you really want to prove to me, you know, go offer Isaac your son. And so Abraham's on his way to do it. And we know the story that God stopped him. Look at verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Of course, we know that a lamb showed up over there in the bushes. But I believe that's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus Christ for the first time, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And so we know that this was a type. You know, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Look back in verse 2. You know, as a Bible student, you look for things in the Bible. It's what you call the rule of first mention. When we think about love, we think about a love of, you know, our brethren, or maybe a love for our wife. But here's something in verse 2. It's the first time you see this in the Bible. And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest." The first time you find a form of love in the Bible, it's for a man, it's a father for his son. See, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, someone said there's no greater love than that. God loved the world enough that he gave his only son. So, we see then that Abraham was justified, or righteousness was imputed to him, whenever he, in chapter 15, verse 6, but yet in the Bible says over in James chapter 2, that he was justified 40 years later when he offered Isaac his son. Now, I think by now you can see there's a difference here. One place it says that it talks about the faith, and of course we're going to look at that faith in just a minute, but then there's the faith of the individual. That's what we looked at here, the faith of the individual. And we see that faith under the law and in the kingdom, it demands some work to go with it. You got to have it. James chapter 2, I read it again, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." Now that brings us to another question here now. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and here's one of the first verses I memorized as a kid. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So then we're saved by grace through faith, and that faith is not of ourselves. So then whose faith is it? It's the faith of Christ. Exactly right. Now, you see, when Jesus Christ came into this world, he came here for a purpose and a reason. It was back over there, and I believe that God looked down on this earth, and he saw the wickedness of man, and he had already brought judgment upon the earth several times through Noah and then the Tower of Babel. And he looked down on the earth and he said, you know, that man's just gone his own way. There's no hope for him. There's no help for him. And so God said, well, I'll go down there and I'll do for man what man can't do for himself. Amen. And that's exactly what God did. God became a man. And he came down to this earth, and he lived here for 33 and a half years. And unlike you and I, he never committed a sin, nor did he have sin. And neither was he born with sin, because he was God. And so he came down to this earth. He lived here for 33 and a half years. And then turn to John chapter 19. Thank you. get there in a minute. John chapter 19. Let's look at verse 28. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon it, hyssop, and put it to his mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. In other words, Jesus Christ finished the work that God gave him to do. He came to this earth and he did the things that he was supposed to do, and taking the gospel of the kingdom to all of Israel. And in Matthew chapter 11 and 12, they rejected him. And then he was taken and put on a cross for something he didn't do. And he's hanging on that cross, and he says, it's finished. In other words, the work that God had sent him to do, he had done it. Now, when we go back over here to Ephesians chapter 2, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So then it's very evident to see that there's a man here who is saved without any works. And then there's a man in that Old Testament who must have works to justify his faith. In other words, you can't just say, I got faith, and not have any works. It won't work. So then, this faith, it says it's not of ourselves. Well, then where did it come from? It come from God. Now, I've heard different people give different examples. I've heard people say that whenever a man's born into this world, that God gives him a certain amount of faith, that every man is born with a certain amount of faith. Well, I don't know so much about that. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, and the Bible says very specifically here in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, a man stands up and or someone reads the Bible, someone teaches the Bible, and it's taught correctly, then it brings conviction. The Word of God can actually, I believe, give faith. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's pretty clear. I don't know if you get it all or not, but last Sunday, the speaker used a reference here to John chapter 6 and verse 63. Jesus says here in chapter 6, verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So then, the Word of God quickeneth. It makes alive. It gives faith. So then the individual can call upon the Lord, he can be saved, and never do nothing. Now let's look back in Romans. Go to Romans chapter 3. The Bible says over here in Romans chapter 3, and let's start there in verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And that's the whole purpose of the law right there. The purpose of the law was not to favor man. No man ever kept the law. No man could keep the law. The question is this. What are you going to do when you sin? You're going to sin, see? Under the law, what are you going to do when you do sin? Sacrifice. Exactly right. So the law, the purpose was to show a man he was guilty before God. He's a sinner. We're all sinners. It doesn't make any difference who you are, where you come from, how good your mama was, or how bad your mama was, or your daddy, or whatever. Your daddy might have been a preacher or whatever. It doesn't make any difference. The purpose of the law was to show a man his condition. As a matter of fact, in the book of Romans, I believe that in chapter 1, God takes you all the way back to the beginning of time with the Gentiles and shows them how that they're guilty before God. Chapter 2 and 3, God deals with a Jew, and he shows him he's guilty before God. We're all guilty. It doesn't make any difference. Verse 22, for there is no difference. But it says here, all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. It never was a question of keeping the law. It was a question of sin. We're all sinners. What you going to do about it? But verse 21, now Paul says, but now. That's one of Carlton's favorite words there. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God. So now the righteousness of God is revealed, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. So then Jesus Christ did a work, didn't he? So then he had faith plus works. Mm-hmm. So then he did the work for us that we couldn't do. Mm-hmm. See? So when the Bible says, by faith of Jesus Christ, that faith there is a faith that had some works associated with it. He did the work on Calvary's cross. He paid the price for our sins. And the Bible says, by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. In other words, it doesn't make any difference now whether a person is a Jew or if he's a Gentile. It has no bearing on it whatsoever. If he's saved, he's saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now that man can't do like that man back over there under the law says, I'm tired of all this blood. He may say, well, I don't believe that. I'm just going to go get me a lamb and bring him to the altar and make me a sacrifice. Well, that won't work. Amen. See, it won't work. There ain't no altar. And if there was an altar, it would have to be in Jerusalem. And it ain't in Jerusalem because there's a mosque there. One day that thing's going to disappear from over there. The accident's going to happen. And when it does, there's going to be tremendous chaos in the Middle East, I can guarantee you. But it's going to happen. And the reason it's going to happen is because there's going to be a temple built there. And that worship will resume. In ignorance, by the way. Still won't deliver from sin.
Amen.
You got to have works, but not that kind of works. And we're not going into that anyway. All right, so then Romans chapter 20 there in verse 21 and 22 is a verse, like I said, that opened my eyes to rightly dividing the word of truth. It helped me to see that things were different. I know whenever whenever I got saved. It wasn't the good works things that bothered me. It was the thing that bothered me was I continued to do things that I knew I shouldn't do after I was saved. That's what bothered me. You see? And I didn't understand. See? As a child, I didn't understand. I knew God had died for my sins, and I knew I'd accept Him, and I knew things were different. But I just didn't understand why it was that even after I had became a Christian, that I didn't do right sometimes. Still sin. And you know what? It was long about this same time whenever I started learning some things about right division that I learned about the old man and the new man we talked about the other day. You see, when God saved me, He didn't save my body. He saved my soul. Now, I believe He saved my soul. I've heard, you know, the spirit thing, but that's all right. Man has a soul. Man became a living soul, the Bible says over there in Genesis chapter 2 when God created Adam. Man became a living soul. And in the Old Testament, you can't distinguish between the body and the soul. That body was stuck to that flesh. And it wasn't until Paul gave the doctrines here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, where that a man is cut loose from that flesh and he's sealed by the Spirit of God to the day of redemption. You see, I couldn't understand why I did things wrong. And then I realized, well, you know, I had it right all along. It's not me, but it's that old man. Now, Brother Wayne said something about a couple of Wednesday nights. So next Wednesday night, I want to do a message on three strikes and you're out. You ever heard that? It has to do with the nation of Israel. Can you figure how that three strikes and you're out? Well, that's what I want to talk about next week. Now, I have a few more minutes here. So if anybody's got a question, I know I don't have one of them little phones yet. I'm going to get me one of those iPhones. But if anybody and people call in questions while Barry was up here preaching, huh?
You don't want one.
Don't want one.
You believe it? You want an iPhone?
Yeah. Has anybody got a question tonight about something I said? We'll turn over to Romans chapter 4, and we'll go a little further with it. Now we hadn't exhausted the subject by any means, but I've just always found that it's best to give a certain amount and then quit, not try to just keep going just for the sake of time. But everybody looks interested tonight. So Romans chapter 4, it says here, verse 1, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness." All right, so, Paul is going to emphasize Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. James is going to emphasize Genesis chapter 22 and verse 6. You see, Abraham was saved. The Bible says right there that God counted it to him for righteousness. James says it was imputed to him for righteousness. And look, verse 4, "And to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." It's always amazed me how one guy, how Paul could come along and use the same individual. But you have to look at that thing. There's a 40-year period or span of time there from Genesis 6 to Genesis 22. 40 years of time. So Paul wants he's trying to prove a point. He's trying to prove the point here is that man's saved by grace. James trying to prove a point that a man can't just have faith. He's got to have some works to go with his faith. So we're saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. And then Paul uses another example. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of a man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. You know what God did? God imputed righteousness to David. What he did was he refused to impute sin to David. Even though David broke the law, he broke the law when he had a man killed in battle, and then he committed adultery, and under the law, there's no sacrifice for those sins. The penalty was death, to be stoned. But yet God refused to impute sin unto David. So David then is an example of God's grace. See? And you see that word counted and reckoned and imputed there? If you were to go to a Greek Bible, you just got one word for those three different words. You see how this King James Bible then is, I believe, inspired of God. The English is superior to Greek. It gives you more definitions and more understanding than you can actually get from the Greek. Now, I guess I'm real far to the left. I mean the right, excuse me. Very conservative in that I believe that this book that I have in my hand, is inspired. And I believe that if you want to get messed up, you go back to the Greek. We don't speak Greek. Nobody speaks Greek today. Nobody speaks Latin today. Latin's a dead language. That's why your medical doctors use it, because they can write prescriptions and, you know, the poor dumb sucker don't know what you're saying. And so that's why doctors learn Latin and learn how to write their prescriptions. I don't think they're doing as much as they used to. They used to do it all that way. But Greek is a dead language.
Learn Greek also?
Well, they had to. They had to learn some of it, yes, to understand what it is. But like I said, it's not like it used to be.
Chicken scratch.
She said it looked like chicken scratching.
So that's Greek to me.
One time I took this guy, he got hurt, and I took him to the doctor, and had to fill out a form, you know, working for the railroad, you know. And I said, I can't read this. I said, when I get back, I got to fill out a report. And I said, I can't fill out a report if I don't know what you said. I told him, you got to rewrite this where I can read it. And he did. He rewrote it. But the Greek is inferior to English. And people go back to studying Greek. You can get some things, but you can also get messed up. Well, I'm going to close right there. Anybody else got a question? All right, three strikes and you're out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night and this opportunity to come. And Lord, we pray, Father, that the things that we see here in the Word of God, Lord, we always keep them in mind. Lord, what you've done for us, Lord, you did the work. Lord, when we were totally without strength, we couldn't help ourselves. But Lord, you came and worked for us. Today, I'm not saved by our faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ that loved us and died for us. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to be able to show other people, Lord, what you've done for them, Lord, in a way that they might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.